For those of us who have the privilege of preaching every week, sometimes Sunday rolls around about every other day. Or at least it feels that way. Even for those of us who really, really like to preach, all you have to do is throw in a couple of deaths and a wedding and a confirmation and a confirmation rehearsal and a few other things, and pretty soon that time to prepare gets very, very constricted. Now, every Tuesday we have two Bible studies, one in the early morning, one at noon, and we study the text that I'm going to be preaching on, or whoever is preaching is going to be preaching on the following Sunday. So if you ever get good ideas from these sermons, you can rest assured I stole them from one of those two Bible studies, and I'm sharing them with you. Actually, it really does help to talk through those things. But I have worked through this last shall be first, greatest shall be least text so many times that when I finished the Bible studies on Tuesday, at the end of each one, I had to confess, I have no idea what I'm going to say on Sunday. I have no idea what I can say that could be new. And then Tuesday afternoon, I happened to be talking with my friend, Jeff Howerton, West End member, and Jeff was telling me a story. He had seen a sign with an advertisement that had used the word deserve. And we all think we deserve at least what we have, and those of us who have a lot think we deserve more, and those of us who have vastly more than we need think we're entitled not only to that but a lot more, right? So deserve is kind of the word for our culture. He said, you know, I had never heard before that if you take the D-E off of that, you get deserve. You delete serving. You don't have to serve. And if we get what we deserve, of course we don't have to serve because other people wait on us, right? Well, you see, through Jeff, God had given me what I needed to say today, I think. In the text you heard, the disciples of Jesus are arguing about what they deserve. Now, in Luke, this comes right in the middle of the Last Supper. They are finishing the meal. Jesus says to them, "One of you will betray me." They begin to discuss who it might be, and then almost immediately the conversation shifts from who might betray him to who's the greatest. Right? Now, we as disciples never argue about who's the greatest, do we? I know we as preachers never do. Yeah, don't believe that. They start to argue about who's the greatest because they see the time coming when Jesus is going to reestablish the throne of David. And they want to be the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of State. And they want to have high positions because they deserve it. Right? After all, they have stuck with this guy who has been telling stories and teaching them stuff, most of which they did not comprehend, but they stuck with him. They have followed him up to this point, and now they deserve some kind of reward for that, don't you think? They did. And so they're arguing about what they deserve. That'd be pretty silly, confirmands, wouldn't it, if you were to get into an argument about who was the greatest? Right? That'd be pretty silly. And yet these adult men did. And when they did, Jesus said to them, now wait a minute. Who is the greatest? Those of us who are sitting around this table, the table would have been a kind of horseshoe-shaped table called a triclinium. It would have been very low so that those gathered around it would have been reclining with their elbow resting on the floor and eating with their right hand, and their feet would have been sticking straight out from the table. And those who served would have come into the inside of that. You to serve. Saying, now who would serve? Who's the greatest? The ones who sit around the table or the ones who come into the middle and serve? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? Those of us who are at the table. We hardly pay attention to those who are serving, right? He says, now among the Gentiles, as soon as he says Gentiles, the disciples would have gotten a bad taste in their mouth. The Gentiles are those other people. They don't know to follow the one living God. They do not know to keep kosher. They do not follow the laws of Moses. But the Gentiles, here Romans, lord it over other people. They want to be the greatest. They want to know that they're the greatest. And when they lord it over people and when they oppress them, they make those people call them benefactors, those who do good. You see, they've reversed it. The people who are doing good for them get no acknowledgement, and yet they're the ones getting waited on, and they're the ones who are called benefactors. That's how the Gentiles do it. But Jesus says, it will not be so among you, because you see, I come among you as one who serves. And all of a sudden, the tables had turned. All the wind had been taken out of that argument about who was the greatest, because the one who they thought was the greatest came as one who served. How often do we think we deserve what we have and even more? My friends, we don't deserve the very first breath we took. We don't deserve having a family around us that helped us to grow. We don't deserve finding a community of faith that will help us to grow in our faith. We don't deserve finding a life companion who will accompany us on the way. We don't deserve any of this. We don't deserve from the first breath to the last any. It's all a gift. It's all a gift. And it's a gift so that we can use it to serve God by serving others. Now, all through Easter, all through this season, we've been talking about service and serving. And it comes to this. The greatest among us will be the youngest. These confirmands. These children who come to hear children's time. The youngest will be the greatest. The least will be the greatest. The first will be the last. In that story I told the children, which is a troubling story, it has troubled me all my life, and it continues to every time I tell it because it seems so patently unfair. But about 30 years ago, a friend named Megan McKenna and I were traveling around with a group of storytellers and clowns and mimes and fire eaters and jugglers, and you can probably imagine that, can't you, that I would travel with that crowd. I was sitting in on one of Megan's classes, and she taught this story. And the way she taught it was this. She said, we're going to line up in a line from those who would be chosen first to those who would be chosen last. Those who would be chosen first, of course, would be strong, young males. I was in my 30s then. Hey, I have a PhD. Doesn't matter. We're picking grapes. Strong young men. So I got toward one end of the spectrum here. I was toward the first chosen. But then as you moved down, there were women. And at the end of the line, there were children. And those over 60. And those with disabilities. And guess what? Throughout my life, I have moved consistently from the first chosen to the last chosen. And yet God has continued to give me everything I need to do what God has called me to do. Thank God for that. I think if we simply hear this as a story of an unfair pay scale, we mishear the story. We misinterpret it. Instead, I think, depending on our position in society, depending on whether we would be one of the first hired or one of the last hired, we may begin to hear it as a story of God providing for all everything we need to do what God has called us to do, which is to serve God and our neighbor. Confirmands, God has given you everything you need. You may be the first chosen or you may be the last chosen when it comes to playing ball, when it comes to spelling bees, when it comes to class. But you know what? God, like that farmer, has given you every single thing you need and will continue to do that the rest of your lives as long as you live. That's what it means to be a disciple. It will not be so among you, Jesus says, that you lord greatness over each other. No, because I come among you as one who serves, and I send you forth as those who serve. You know, there is a name for that. There is a word for that. And we United Methodists like to use that word a lot. The word is grace.